You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We're 1 week into the new year, and there are doubtless plenty of people struggling with their New Year's resolution to quit smoking. A new study in the journal Cancer Epidemiology suggests that electronic cigarettes could help. But that's not exactly an endorsement of these controversial devices. Matthew Carpenter is a tobacco control and addiction expert at the Cancer Center at the Medical University of South Carolina and co-author of that new study. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
The term e-cigarette kind of conjures up images of some computerized digital device, but they're actually just these small little, they almost look like a pen. How do these e-cigarettes actually work?
Well, that's a great question. So first, let's define what an e-cigarette is. It's basically a device that is battery powered that vaporizes nicotine, allowing the user, the smoker, to inhale the vaporized nicotine into the lung. So unlike other nicotine replacement products like patches or gums or lozenges, this is a device that actually is brought into the lung, that brings nicotine into the lung. So for that reason, it can relieve craving and lessen withdrawal for a smoker who is trying to quit or reduce smoking.
And how much safer are these e-cigarettes than regular cigarettes? If you're still getting a dose of nicotine inhaled directly to your lungs, how different is that?
Sure. So it's markedly safer. Several studies, many studies have shown that the levels of exposure to harmful toxicants that cause cancer are dramatically less than what you would find in a conventional tobacco cigarette. However, we don't have decades of research with e-cigarettes like we do for conventional cigarettes, so we really don't have the true population-based epidemiological data that you would have for smoking. Most of what we know about e-cigarettes is based on the past 5 years or so, and most of that is based on studies that are short-term, small-scale studies.
I'm talking with Matthew Carpenter of the Medical University of South Carolina about his recent study looking at whether e-cigarettes could help smokers quit. As you say, we haven't had a lot of data up to this point, and there have been a lot of claims, right? On one hand, concern that e-cigarettes could be enticing young people to start smoking, but then on the other hand, these claims that e-cigarettes could be a safer alternative and possibly even a way for addicted smokers to quit. And so that's kind of where you targeted your study. So, as you said, again, a small study, pilot study with 68 smokers. You gave one group a powerful dose of nicotine in an e-cigarette. The other group got a lower dose. You know, they didn't have to use these e-cigarettes. You just kind of gave them e-cigarettes with no instructions and watched what happened. So what did happen?
That's right. And let's put this study in context real quickly. So, you know, the best test of any tobacco product or any intervention, if you will, is a randomized clinical trial. And there are few of those studies for e-cigarettes. There are three main studies that were done outside the U.S., but within the U.S., we have very few randomized studies. In fact, this is among the first. So it is a small study, 68 participants, as you mentioned. But they were given an e-cigarette device to use as they wished, completely naturalistic, so they could choose not to use it if they chose. And then a control group was not given the device. And they were given the device or not for 3 weeks. And then the sampling period, if you will, was then terminated, and then we followed everybody up for 3 additional months to see what changes were sustained over time. So in short, what we found that over the sampling period, the smokers in the e-cigarette group significantly reduced their use of conventional cigarettes as compared to those in the control group. In fact, 47% of smokers who got the high dose of nicotine had cut their smoking by at least half, compared to 19% in the control group. And when we look at behaviors over time, over the 3 month follow-up period, we see comparable results. So we see a higher rate of quit attempts for conventional smoking and a higher rate of quitting among those who received the e-cigarette device that we had given them. So this suggests that using an e-cigarette device for smokers can facilitate quitting of conventional cigarettes. And this is consistent with the studies that I had mentioned a few minutes ago that were done outside the U.S., which were generally supportive of a cessation effect.
I wonder if you asked those participants why, what made it easier or more attractive to attempt to quit once they'd started using these e-cigarettes.
We do ask questions like that. So first off, you know, unlike other nicotine delivery devices, but very much like a conventional cigarette, an e-cigarette can help the sort of the hand-to-mouth substitution of behaviors. You have that same feelings in your throat as you would a conventional cigarette. So, you know, unlike patches and gums, which are evidence-based smoking cessation products supported by the FDA and you know, hundreds of other studies, you know, those products don't really mimic a cigarette like an e-cigarette does. So there's a lot of behavioral substitution. And as I said, it delivers nicotine fairly efficiently. So that means it's going to, you know, control withdrawal, control the craving. So that smokers who have, you know, concerns about their health, they know that smoking is bad for them. They want to do something to improve their health. They may be motivated to switch over and reduce or quit smoking entirely.
Given the size of this study, less than 70 people involved, how broadly do you think you can extrapolate these results to say something about the power of e-cigarettes to help smokers quit?
I'm glad you asked that question. So this is not a definitive study. I would never say it is. It is among the first in the U.S., and we need studies like this in terms of design, randomized groups, follow-up over time with rigorous outcomes, biological verifications of smoking behavior, and things like that. We have an upcoming study funded by the National Institutes of Health that will do this same study, if you will, but in a much larger context with over 600 smokers across the country with more distant follow-up points as well. And there are other investigators around the country who are starting to get into this area doing clinical trials for e-cigarettes as well.
My guest is Matthew Carpenter. He's a tobacco control and addiction expert at the Cancer Center at the Medical University of South Carolina. I want to ask you actually about a different study about the same time that your study showing that e-cigarettes can help smokers quit. Another study came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Pediatrics Journal, and found that young people who use a non-cigarette tobacco product, something like an e-cigarette, were more likely then to start smoking regular cigarettes. How do you balance that kind of risk with the kind of benefits that you see in your work?
Right. So that is the conundrum with e-cigarettes. So on one hand, they may help adult existing smokers reduce or quit smoking. But we are in the tobacco research field are very aware of the risks among non-users of smokers, non-smokers, particularly adolescents. So this was one study that you just mentioned, but there have been several prior studies that basically show very similar results. And what this study that you just mentioned is showing that people who are non-smokers, adolescents ages 12 to 17 who are non-smokers, who are followed up over time, in this case, a one-year period, those who were e-cigarette users at the baseline were almost twice as likely to be smokers as compared to those who were non-e-cigarettes at baseline. So you mentioned words like gateway, and that's a common interpretation that e-cigarettes might facilitate the onset of regular cigarette smoking among adolescents. And that would clearly be a public health disaster that we need to be very cautious of. So that goes back to the difficult interpretation about e-cigarettes. So on one hand, it might help adult smokers quit. On the other hand, it might be a way to facilitate nicotine dependence and smoking initiation among adolescents. And we need to be very cautious of that, both from a, you know, a regulatory standpoint and obviously a, you know, a clinical standpoint as well.
I mean, given those risks, do you worry that your research might in some way be taken as an endorsement of e-cigarettes and misconstrued in the attempt to set policies around these devices?
Well, I think, you know, it's not a black or white issue. This is not either, you know, an all good or all bad issue. It is a gray area. And myself and many others in this field are trying, whenever we speak about e-cigarettes, to convey the potential benefits, but also the potential dangers as well. We need to have smart, science-based regulatory policy that keeps e-cigarettes out of the hands of non-users, but perhaps may get them into the hands of smokers. And I think we can think about ways to do that through pricing and other access issues to get e-cigarettes permissible to those who might benefit from them, but not to be used among those who should not be using e-cigarettes.
Clearly, there are policy issues to be worked out, and we still need, as you've said, more research on these two fundamental questions about the risks for adolescents and the benefits to adult smokers. I wonder if there are other questions that you as a researcher have about e-cigarettes and would like to see addressed.
Well, I think we just need more science in this area. We need better studies, randomized studies. I think the one that myself and my colleagues have published recently is a start. I'm hopeful to see others from other investigators around the country using, you know, strong designs with large sample sizes that are representative with rigorous outcomes, including measures of harm and biomarkers. These are the types of studies that we need. And as I say, we're about to do a study like that, as be starting later in the spring of 2018, and I look forward to seeing other studies as well. In terms of adolescence, I think, you know, as I said, this study that you mentioned is among several others showing a potential gateway effect. Of course, there's always other variables that might be explaining this association. Because it's not a randomized design, we can't draw firm conclusions about causality, meaning that we don't know with 100% certainty that e-cigarettes are causing cigarette initiation. We might think so, but there are also, you know, unexplained or untested other variables that might be at play here, whether it be genes or other influences in the home or other socioeconomic predictors of tobacco initiation. So there's lots of things for science to disentangle as we go forward.
You mentioned that there hasn't been a robust body of research yet and that it's just kind of getting started. Are there barriers to doing this kind of research, or is it simply a matter of time that it's just we haven't had the time to get the work done yet?
So there have been some research barriers. The three clinical trials that I mentioned that have been done outside the U.S., in Italy and in New Zealand, they were very powerful, strong studies, but those studies 2 or 3 years ago could not have been done in the U.S., given regulatory hurdles in our country. I'm not saying that those regulatory hurdles are always bad. Sometimes we need them. But
what kind of regulatory hurdles are there between doing that kind of research in the U.S.?
Well, if I wanted to do a study that said e-cigarettes are going to help smokers quit, and I randomize smokers to use this product to help them quit, and I give them instructions to use them towards quitting, that would be an indication for that and use of e-cigarettes that is not yet approved. E-cigarettes in the U.S. are not approved as cessation products, so I cannot promote them as a cessation product. In my study and in other studies, we're testing the naturalistic impact of these devices over time, which gets us around these thorny issues about, you know, why is it being used and for what purpose. We just, you know, look at it naturalistically. But if I wanted to do a more purposeful, cessation-focused study, that would meet some regulatory barriers that would be hard to overcome.
That's Matthew Carpenter. He's a tobacco control and addiction expert at the Cancer Center at the Medical University of South Carolina. His new study about e-cigarettes was published in the journal Cancer Epidemiology. Thanks so much for talking with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
When we come back, a new idea for how to prevent or at least reduce antibiotic-resistant superbugs. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.